fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend. I want to talk this week about St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. It's an amazing letter. Obviously, all the letters in the New Testament are amazing. They're inspired. This particular letter is Paul's answer to a conflict that was happening among the Galatians, a community he had preached the gospel to. And after he had left, you know, built this community, a group of Judaizers, they're called Jews who were believing in Jesus, but were taking up again elements of the ceremonial law and Jewish practice and trying to convince the new converts that they had to practice these in order to be saved. And so taking some of the old covenant elements, which Jesus had fulfilled in his coming, in his passion, death, and resurrection, and then turning back and trying to convince the people that in order for them to be saved, they had not only to receive Jesus and everything he was giving in the new covenant, but they had to go back and take up some of the things from the old covenant, like circumcision and the ceremonial law. There's a beautiful little summary on what happens in the letter to the Galatians from the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible in the New Testament, which I recommend to you. It's a very helpful commentary. You get, obviously, all the letters of the New Testament, and then a kind of an in-depth commentary, not exactly verse by verse, but quite a few of the key themes and key verses in each of the letters. But here's what they say. He said, "For the most part, Galatians is Paul's attempt to define the essence of the new covenant in Christ over against the old covenant that gave birth to it." So the new covenant flows out of the old covenant is what? Given with Abraham and Moses, the people of Israel, God's promises to Abraham, and that he would multiply and make a great nation. On Mount Sinai, there's the giving of the law. God reveals his plan and purpose through Moses. There's the Abraham had been circumcised, and everyone who was going to share in what belonged to Abraham, people of Israel, had to be circumcised. That was a doorway into the covenant family in the Old Testament. But describing the conflict, I just want to summarize it here a little bit at the beginning and then sort of break open some of the key passages from Galatians because they're very applicable to us and it's a very inspiring letter. It says, "The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, however, marks a turning point in the covenant history where circumcision is now set aside along with the entire body of liturgical and ceremonial legislation promulgated by Moses." So all that God had given to Moses and that had established the worship of the people of Israel and the distinct way of life of the people of Israel was fulfilled in the person of Jesus. The giving of the law, really everything in the Old Testament was given. God's progressive revelation was anticipating the full revelation when time itself would reach its fulfillment and God would send forth his Son into the world and the curtain would be pulled back and God's full revelation and purpose for his people and for every single human being would be revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. This goes on to say, "Through his cross, Christ has redeemed us from the curses of the old covenant." We'll talk about that this week, some, particularly in chapter 3 there, where Paul addresses that in particular. So he redeems us from the curses of the old covenant, and he unleashed the divine blessings of the new covenant in a powerful way, inaugurating a new creation and a renewed Israel. As Paul shows from the scriptures, the new covenant ratified by Christ fulfills the Abrahamic covenant of blessing for all the nations, even as it terminates the Mosaic covenant that was confined to the one nation of Israel in the centuries between Abraham and Christ. Now, whoever embraces Christ in faith and receives baptism becomes a spiritual descendant of Abraham and an adopted child of God. So the work that the Lord was doing in the people of Israel, birthing it through Abraham and Abraham's faith that was accounted to him as righteousness. What is that? He trusted God. He radically trusted God and became a nomad of faith and really turned away from the entire estate and life that he had built. God was called him to the promised land and he returned to his clan and all of his people and said, "We're moving out. We're packing up. We're going someplace." They said, "Where are we going?" Abraham said, "We're going to the land of promise." "Where's that?" "I'm not sure." "Well, how do you know there's even a land of promise?" "Because God spoke to me." "God spoke to you?" Abraham's the first one we know in God's plan that he spoke face to face to Abraham and gave him this plan and this revelation. So Abraham leans on God in such a way that his entire enterprise, everything he built is at stake. and he steps out according to God's word. At God's command, he entrusts everything in his life to God. And all those he's responsible for, he draws into that act of now orienting their entire lives to God in trust. This is why Scripture says God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend. Why? Because Abraham trusted him. He gave to God what belonged to God. He related to God in a way that was completely right and appropriate. He knew God's command, his authority, and he knew God was absolutely trustworthy. So in that people of Israel, God fashioned for himself a people to call his own, who he would teach to live a way of life that was consistent with the purpose for which human beings were created. But what we see in the people of Israel very clearly is how often they fall short of the laws and the commandments that God gave them that would define who they are and their way of life. But what gets revealed here in part is God has a plan for his people. He wants to communicate to us how we're called to live and to walk in obedience to him, and that his laws and his commandments are good, and they become for us a pathway. It's a habit and pattern of life, or really a whole culture, you could say, a whole way of life of a people that corresponds to God and God's purpose for us and our ultimate human flourishing. But we see how often Israel was unfaithful. And because of that, the law was meant for good, which Paul talks about in various places in the New Testament, and is clear. And here's between law and gospel. Jesus came to fulfill the law. That is, he didn't come to get rid of the commandments. He came to fill the commandments full. And how did he do that? He actually lived them. And he lived them with absolute love and surrender to God, which is what all the commandments ultimately are leading toward, is a loving response, a total surrender of obedience and trust of our lives to God. And so Paul wants to take up and remind the Galatians, and he reminds us today, what's at the center and the heart of the gospel? And that what he saw with the Judaizers is they were turning away from the gift of salvation. Paul taught in Ephesians, by grace, that's God's gift, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. Because the gift of salvation is just that, a gift. We don't bring about our own salvation. We can't generate salvation by our good acts and our good deeds. We can't make God save us, nor can we do what's needed to lift us from what Paul would describe as this present evil age, the age that's under the domination of the powers of sin and death, which leads us to death, not only the first death, bodily death, but the second death of eternal separation from God. What we need is the forgiveness of our sins, and to become, as Paul will say here in Galatians, to become a new creation, to become something new. As John would say in his gospel, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So the Catholic Church is really very clear, both the teaching of Jesus and the apostles, of what the gospel really is. The gospel is the good news of God's gift, God's choice to offer us a way out of this present evil age, and to bring us to salvation, as to a relationship with God, and to become a new creation that is participating and sharing in God's own life in the person of Jesus Christ. That's something God initiates. That's something that comes to us as a gift from God. It's not something that we can generate on our own. So Paul's concerned the Judaizers are coming back around again. They're trying to generate their own salvation again, saying, well, no, you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. You can't be saved unless you fulfill all these law, these requirements of the law. And so Paul circles back, and he wants to help understand what is the gospel and how does it differ? How does it fill the old covenant full? How does it take it even beyond the revelation that Abraham and Moses were given by God? So I want to just start this morning with chapter 1 of Galatians, verses 3 through 5. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom the glory be forever and ever. Amen. Here's in one line, Paul gives a little summary of what the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is all about. He came to give himself to us. Paul says here, he gave himself for our sins. I was just thinking the Catechism has paragraph 2824, takes up this very passage as it describes in the teaching on the Our Father and the Lord's Prayer, the section, Thy Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven. In paragraph 28-24, it says this, in Christ and through his human will, the will of the Father has been perfectly fulfilled once and for all. It's very key because up until the coming of Jesus Christ, no human will, no person had fulfilled God's plan perfectly and lived the life we were all called to live. It says, Jesus said on entering into this world, Lo, I have come to do your will, O God. Jesus begins his whole life, his whole ministry. Everything about Jesus is a revelation to you and to me, an understanding, a living example of what each one of us is called to do, that we were made to be united to God the Father, and the purpose of each one of our lives, the purpose at the core of our being, is to do God's will. So if you ask yourself the question, why am I here? You know, where have I come from? I've come from God. You know, what am I? I'm a human being created in the image and likeness of God. What's the purpose for my being here? Why am I here? I've come to do your will, O God. Jesus is the Son who reveals to all the sons and daughters, all of us who are called now by adoption into Christ to become sons and daughters of God, he demonstrates for us the path, the way, the life we're called to live. That's going to express the very purpose for which we're made, and it's going to lead us to ultimate fulfillment and happiness. So if you ask, why are you here? It's a simple answer for the disciple, for every Christian, every Catholic. I've come to do your will, O God. I just want to know your will. I don't have any investment in my own preferences ultimately if my preferences are not consistent with your will. That's partly what it means to be a disciple. Today, there's a lot of confusion about our lives. I was just reading an article someone sent me yesterday, a study that was done of Catholic millennials. And the person who was writing was, in the Berkeley, California area. And they were saying how many of the millennials responding to many of the current political positions that are out there today, mostly having to do with all the sexual revolution issues that are present in our culture, that most Catholic millennials, a vast majority, support, supposedly in this article, abortion on demand, premarital sex, homosexual marriages, all the gender issues of the day, they're signing on for all of those as well. And so basically the author is saying, you know, church, you need to get with it. You're going to lose a generation of people because they don't agree with you. They don't agree with church's teaching on these areas. And they're going to go their own way and still call themselves Catholic. It's an enormous mistake. It's as though what we're supposed to do is to conform the church to where we are personally at a particular time or where the culture is. To be a disciple means to conform everything to Christ. And what is Christ? It's revealed right here. Lo, I have come to do your will, O God. Lord, what's your will in relationship to all these areas? My preferences don't matter. It's no longer I who live, but it's you who live in me. You just show me, Lord, what is your will? Because I know your will is true and it's good and it's going to lead to human fulfillment and joy and the longing of my heart, the completion of my very being and character. And if I act outside that will, in your purpose and plan for all these areas that are in play in our culture today, if I act outside your will, it's going to damage me and it's going to damage others. So to pray, friends, Paul talks on it right here. Jesus came to give himself for our sins. We're called to give ourselves back to God as a gift to him. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.